Thank you, Nigel. The title I've been given for this morning is Prayer in the Life of the Christian Man. And I think most of us, when we hear the word prayer, we begin to feel, a bit uncomfortable and rather embarrassed, because we know that we're not as good at prayer as we ought to be. We're not as prayerful as we should be. And I don't want to add to that sort of burden of guilt in what I say this morning. In fact, quite the opposite. I don't want to put any burden on you this morning. I hope that what I say will actually be quite liberating. Will actually, you'll find it sets you free. Here's some words that Jesus said. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you see the picture of prayer there? It is children asking a father for gifts. That's what prayer is. It's children coming and asking their father for a gift. Those of us who are fathers, and maybe looking around the room this morning, I should say grandfathers as well. We love it, don't we, when our children or our grandchildren come and ask us for something. That's delightful when that happens. They don't need a particular sort of protocol. There isn't a particular form of address that they have to use. They just come running up to us and ask for whatever it is. Well, that's what prayer is. I wonder if we've made it more complicated than it needs to be. If we've made it something difficult, when it really it's something easy. It's as easy as a child coming to their dad. Yes, he is our heavenly Father, so we come with respect and reverence. But he is our Father. If you're a Christian, if you've put Jesus in charge, then you are a child of God, and you can speak to God as your Father. Isn't that amazing? That's just staggering. It's not something complicated. For some of us, our experience of fatherhood maybe wasn't particularly great. Maybe our father was a rather scary figure or whatever. But Jesus says, how much more? How much more than any human father will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Isn't that wonderfully liberating? Here is a father who is wholly good, and he will only give good gifts to his children. Now, I've prayed some pretty stupid prayers in my time, and thank goodness God didn't answer those. So, you know, when we pray, some of our prayers, well, God rolls his eyeballs and thinks, no, I'm not going to give them that. Some of our prayers, he thinks, well, that's not appropriate yet. And he says, wait. But the good ones, well, he says yes to those. Now, isn't that liberating? God filters out the stupid prayers, the ones that we shouldn't have prayed anyway. And do you see how that sets us free to pray? If we get it wrong occasionally, well, we don't need to worry too much. Our Father, who is entirely good, isn't going to say yes to those ones. If prayer was a magic wand, and it would be far too scary, wouldn't it? I, for one, would never want to pray again, just in case I got it wrong. But it isn't. It's children talking to our Father, who is entirely good. And are there some things that we can't talk about? Are there some restrictions? Well, no, there aren't. You know, this bit in the Bible where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Is there anything that isn't included in that? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your request to God. I can't think of anything that leaves out. See, I reckon our problem in prayer is not that we talk too much. Maybe if this was a ladies' breakfast, that would be the problem. But for us guys, that isn't the problem, is it? It's that we don't talk enough. And this is what this says here is very liberating for us. That there is nothing that cannot be included in our praying. Sure, we can learn lots from the prayers in the Bible, and it's good to tie our praying into the promises of the Bible. But the danger is we make it all too complicated. When it isn't, we tie ourselves in knots. When it's actually very simple. It's children talking to their Heavenly Father, expressing our dependence upon Him. See, if you're a Christian, that is the enormous privilege. That is the awesome opportunity that is yours and mine, of talking to God who created the universe, the God who brought us all into being, talking to Him as our Father, as children to a Father. Now, isn't that wonderful? It's awesome. But it's very simple. It's not complicated. Last Saturday I was at Dawson Synod, and Nigel was there, at least there for part of it. I don't know whether survived. The Dawson Synod is usually a fairly dull affair, but last Saturday there was a brilliant ray of sunshine in the midst of Dawson Synod. And it was a group of folk talking about a visit that they had made to the Aru and Boga diocese in the Congo. And one of the things that had particularly struck them about the Christians that they met there in the Congo was the way that they prayed. They'd be in the middle of a conversation and then they'd suddenly start praying together. Or when somebody came and served you at the meal table, they would pray for you as they served you. For them, it was something very, very natural and even every day, not something difficult, complicated. I wonder if there's something that we've lost there, if we can learn something from our African brothers. So here's my suggestion for you this morning. It is to find somebody to pray with. If you're at work, see if you can seek out another Christian bloke who you could meet up to pray with one lunchtime a week, say. That would be good for both of you, wouldn't it? You could pray for each other, pray for each other's families, pray for each other's work colleagues, pray for each other's churches, pray for each other's friends, pray for each other's ministry opportunities that you have. Lots of stuff to be praying for together. Or those of you who are not in work, if you're retired, how about finding the nearest neighbor who is a Christian and meet up to pray with them. They may come to St. John's, they may go to another church. That doesn't matter. That'd be a great thing to do, wouldn't it? It doesn't have to be sort of particularly long. Just say 20 minutes, start to finish, once a week. If you're retired, well, you've got time to do that. To be praying for, as I say, each other's friends, each other's families, each other's churches. Praying together. And remember, it isn't a magic wand. God only gives what is good. And that is a terrific relief, isn't it? Well, my time is up. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I don't know, Richard, quite what happens. Questions or comments? Very happy to take a few questions. If people want to ask any questions, sure, yes. Maybe just to throw out this question, perhaps to talk about around the tables as well. What are some of the obstacles for us in prayer? What are some of the things that we find makes praying difficult? Might be helpful just to share a few thoughts around that. Yeah.
Have you, over the years, changed, according to the phase of your life, changed the way that you pray, be it what time or when? Have you abandoned something that didn't work? I mean, did your praying always look the same?
I think if I'm honest, it's gone up and down. sometimes I've got into a better habit of prayer than at other times. I do try to set aside a time each day to be with God in prayer. something that I've tried to develop and grow in over the years is linking my reading the Bible with my praying. So what God says to me in His Word, I then respond to Him in prayer, and as I mentioned, tying our prayers in with the promises that we find in Scripture. If God has promised to do something, well, that gives us a great grounds for prayer, doesn't it? We're going to God and asking Him, "Will you do what you promised to do?" So I found that really, really helpful. But I think the suggestion that I finished with, of finding other people to pray with, I found that a real blessing over the years. Maybe because I'm not a good at praying on my own as I ought to be. So if I've got somebody else there that I'm praying with, then that's a great encouragement.
How do you reconcile your recommendation with how Jesus told us to pray? Like going into your own room privately, and then praying on your own.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. I think there Jesus was particularly addressing the hypocrites who wanted to sort of stand on the street corner and get public acclamation for his praying. Everybody think, what a good religious guy he is. So it's in contrast to that. Jesus is saying, don't seek public approval for your praying. Quite the contrary, shut yourself away. But I don't think he's saying that should be the only form of praying. There are encouragements elsewhere in the Bible where two or three gather together, and where Jesus says, where you agree together in my name. So that I do think there are those actual positive encouragements within Scripture to be meeting together to pray. Yeah. Okay, praying with children. I think you know, it's great to have a pattern of sort of family devotions. Again, you know, linking that with reading the Bible and praying. For us as a family, that seemed to be natural around the meal table. You know, that's sort of where it's where it happened, as it were. Okay. Yes, right. Yes. I know some families have been great at you know, if there's a sort of missionary family, having sort of pictures of the family and the children and so on, to help children link with a mission partner that they could be praying for. I'm not sure we were ever very, very good or very organized at that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe others have got wisdom on praying with children. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, and you know, I think maybe sometimes it's beholden upon those of us who are more mature just to bear that in mind, actually, and not to sort of make our prayers too long that sort of inhibits everybody else. But actually, for myself, as you know, growing up as a young Christian, it was partly by listening to the prayers of others that I learnt, you know, how to pray. So I suppose I would say to somebody in that position, you know, think of it as a way of learning, that actually as you listen to others pray, that's an opportunity to help you in your praying. I think when it comes to praying together, a lot of us get quite hung up on what other people might think. What you know, and think we've got to get it sort of phrased exactly right, and we've got to use the right sort of language and so on. And really what I wanted to say, you know, I was trying to say this morning, is it doesn't need to be like that. It doesn't need to be complicated. I wonder if we have made prayer more difficult than it needs to be. And actually, you know, if we're concerned about what other people are thinking about our praying, well, hang on a minute, you know, who are we praying to? Are we praying to them, or are we praying to God? Our Heavenly Father, who is perfectly good and delights to hear His children talk to Him. So I suppose that would just be my wisdom for the young Christian when it comes to praying with others. Try not to get too hung up on what other people might think about your prayers. Just get started. And actually, you know, those of us who've been Christians a while, we will know, won't we, when a young Christian begins praying, that's a lovely thing. We're delighted. So, you know, others won't think bad of you. They'll actually be you know, sort of rejoicing with you, really. Yeah.
As Nigel mentioned at the beginning, the public perception of how people of faith is changing, even companies have offices to challenge Christians in the work.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you. I think that is the danger, isn't it? I know it is tough in some workplaces, but the danger is that we give in to the overall atmosphere, as it were, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, some of you will know the little an acronym. Is that the right word? No, it's not. Anyway. Thank you, yes. Of ACTS. Just the word, those four letters of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication, which is a big long word, but just means asking. So adoration. Start off by reminding ourselves and telling God who He is, how recognizing God, His greatness, His glory. Confession, thinking about who I am and my need of God's forgiveness day by day. Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for what He's done for me, and then the prayer, then the petitions and requests. And, you know, over the years, I've found that a helpful little pattern to have. But again, I don't want to, in a sense, make it too complicated. That's great. But, you know, actually, you know, we can turn to God in prayer at all points of the day. Over all sorts of things. So I suppose my encouragement to the person who's just come into faith would be, you know, get started, and remember that prayer is as simple as talking to your Heavenly Father.